the bank that may have made it easy for Russian money launderers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Deutsche Bank, the German firm that's one of the biggest names on Wall Street, is going through its records and has found a large number of Russian transactions that may not have been checked for illegal activity. Bloomberg News published a piece today about this. One of its authors, Bloomberg banking reporter Carrie Geiger, joins us now. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Deutsche Bank is looking into a problem in Russia. Give me a sense of this.
Deutsche Bank, through an internal probe, after it was tipped off by the Russian Central Bank that it had some problematic accounts at its Russian operations, $10 billion in trades may not have been properly vetted through its compliance controls. This one happens to be in Russia. It happens to be in a country that we have U.S. sanctions with, and it happens to be in an area of the markets where you don't have a lot of transparency. The Department of Justice and other regulators, both in the U.K. and here in the U.S., opened up an investigation into this.
So it's not $10 billion in laundered money. It's that $10 billion in trades weren't checked for money laundering.
That is the suspicion. It is not known if these accounts and these trades were used to launder money. And basically, that's what both the bank, Deutsche Bank, and the Department of Justice and regulators are trying to get to the bottom of. Of course, in the U.S., we have very strict anti-money laundering control policies. We also have very strict sanctions rules. And then also for Russia itself, you have to follow certain rules, and you can't just move money out of the country without alerting the regulators there. So it is suspected that these trades were used to move money out of the country, possibly launder money, and possibly circumvent U.S. sanctions violations without anybody knowing.
Carrie Geiger, banking reporter for Bloomberg. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The U.S. Justice Department is not commenting. Deutsche Bank says it is cooperating with regulators. Now, leaders in China have approved an economic blueprint for the impending new year that attempts to tackle problems spreading through the world's second largest economy. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us now from Shanghai. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So the Chinese President Xi Jinping presided over the meeting that led up to this plan. What did he and the rest of the leadership talk about?
Well, it was a closed-door meeting, but the fact that China's top leader was in charge of it shows that the fate of China's economy is a most crucial issue for China's president. You know, this past year was a rocky one for China's economy, growing at its slowest pace in 25 years. Exports are down, and of course, China's foray into a free and functioning stock market has so far been like watching a bad circus act. With all of this, China's top economic planners are doing what they can to make sure an economic slowdown doesn't spiral out of control.
All right, so they're going to spur economic growth. That's sort of like, this is how you play the flute. You run your fingers up and down the keys in the right order. How exactly are they going to do that?
According to the communique that the government released, China will cut excessive industrial capacity in the coming year. And actually, that shouldn't be very difficult because we've seen hundreds of thousands of layoffs at big state-owned mining companies this year, steel mills, coal mines. You know, China's commodity sector has had a terrible year. China's planners say they'll try to prevent these state-owned companies from going bankrupt, instead opting to have them merge with even bigger state-owned companies. So we'll probably see even fewer state-owned firms monopolizing parts of China's industrial sector. And another interesting part of the blueprint is that China's leaders promise they'll try and do something about the oversupply of housing that's plagued much of the country. You know, this has led to suburbs and entire cities filled with a lot of empty high-rises. The government plans to fill some of these buildings by allowing rural Chinese to gain legal household registration in the cities where a lot of this overstock is a problem. On paper, this sounds reasonable, but the parts of China with an oversupply of housing tend to have poorly functioning economies. So the big question is, where are these new residents going to work? The new blueprint so far has an answer to that. And as we go forward with China's slowest growth in years, looming unemployment is probably the biggest challenge that China's Communist Party faces now.
A major challenge indeed. That's Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. I think they tried to call it Muddy Boots Delivery Service, but that didn't seem to fly. But White Glove Delivery is doing better as more of us go online to buy expensive, bulky things like flat-screen TVs and furniture. A growing number of services stand ready to come in with the boxes and set things up. Marketplace's Adrian Hill looked into how these work.
Perhaps this has happened to you. You scour the web for that perfect dining room table, wait for it to go on sale, and then watch your bargain disappear in a sea of shipping charges and white glove delivery fees.
You may not find them wearing white gloves, but they are handling it with care. They're coming inside your house. They're putting booties on their shoes so they don't mess up your carpet.
Satish Jindal heads SJ Consulting Group. He says the in-home delivery market, not to be confused with the leave-it-on-the-porch market, has grown into a $13 billion a year business. More than half of that goes to third-party contractors. And demand for their services, which can run $100 or more, has grown 8% in the last year alone. Chelsea White is a transportation professor at Georgia Tech. He says these services can be a selling point for customers.
It alleviates the need for getting yet another someone to come into the house to do the setup if you can't do the setup yourself.
But don't count on white glove fees to enter the realm of free shipping. Delivery charges are one area where retailers rarely budge. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And VW, amid the scandal with its cheating diesels, has environmental problems, management problems, and image problems. On that image piece, there's news that humbled VW is moving away from its longtime slogan, Das Auto, which means the car. It's now seen by the company as too arrogant. Going forward, next to the VW logo, the new slogan will be simply Volkswagen, which doesn't really seem like a slogan until you remember that in German, Volkswagen means the people's car. You know, like the People's Republic. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.